23. Maracy wore a breakaway gun belt with metal pouches, so the push didn't do more than strip away her equipment. The Bilming constables weren't so well prepared. They were tossed back by their own guns, handcuffs, and other accoutrements of their profession. Blantach screamed as she was knocked off her feet, but she was lucky to suffer only a minor fall. Many were tossed dozens of feet. Trucks rocked, and two even overturned. The doors at the sides of the building were blown free. Windows cracked and people cried out as guns were shoved across the floor and hit the walls, except for a few unaffected weapons that lay on the ground. Apparently, some of the enemy had been given aluminum guns. The sequence casually scooped one of these up, now standing at the epicenter of a blast of power unlike any Maracy had experienced from an ordinary coin shot. She stepped back, awed. That had been something like from the old stories, like Harmony had recorded in the histories, detailing the power available to the Ascendant Warrior. It was a horrible sign, because Maracy realized why the sequence was smiling. While he'd likely been planning to go along with his arrest, now that he'd found a chance to implicate Elendil in a scandal, he would want to cause as many casualties as possible. While the others were recovering, Maracy dove for one of the aluminum guns, but the sequence took aim and fired directly in front of her, driving her, still unarmed, into cover behind an overturned truck. The allomantic push had stopped for now, fortunately.
"You've read about this," she thought. "It's one of the ancient powers available only to Mistborn."
It was called Duralumin, an arcane metal. Using it, an allomancer could burn their entire metal reserve at once. Like detonating a keg of gunpowder instead of a single bullet, it released an enormous burst of allomantic energy. At least, that was what she remembered. It hadn't been relevant in centuries because no one could have two allomantic powers at once. Unless you had hemallergic spikes. A figure in a wool cap and wig scrambled up beside her a moment later. Wayne was followed by Vendel in the broad-chested Cycle's body. A second later, Wayne's speed bubble gave the three of them some breathing room.
"They were ready for us," Wayne said. "They knew we was going to pull this sting."
"No," Maracy said. "They knew about Blantach and her constables. But I think they didn't mind being captured. My guess is that they were going to go along with that sting and slip out of jail later."
"So what changed?" he asked.
"The sequence just realized we're here from Elendil," Maracy said, "and decided to use our presence to create an incident, constables dead, and blame it on Elendil interference in a Bilming operation." It was still merely a guess. The facts were clear, though. The moment he saw Maracy, a man who had been about to go quietly had decided to fight, which put everyone in danger. She glanced out from behind the truck, now that she didn't have to worry about getting shot. The sequence was casually pointing his gun toward Captain Blantach, who was climbing to her feet. At the perimeter of the room, constables and gangsters alike were picking themselves up off the ground, disoriented. Those who had recovered first were frozen in the act of scrambling for their weapons.
"What's the plan?" Wayne asked.
"You distract that sequence," Maracy said to him. "I'll organize our constables. The Set's forces seem surprised by that, too. Look at the shock on their faces. I really think they plan to be captured, then released by corrupt judges or prosecutors. We still have a chance to turn this around if we can take advantage of their disorientation."
"This is not the plan," Vendel said, peeking past her.
"Plan's lost until someone starts shooting, mate," Wayne said.
"So unruly," Vendel muttered. "All these beautiful bones are going to get crushed."
"Not if we can stop it," Maracy said. "Help Wayne with that sequence and take down any armed enemies you see. Be careful of our drivers. They're out of uniform, but all wearing white shoes."
Vendel said. "My, when you say take down, what precisely do you mean, Miss Combs?"
"Kill," Maracy said. "Shoot, maim, eat. I'm not picky, Vendel."
He said. "You see, I am not much of a fighter. I'm a connoisseur, a good planner, a bearer of deep and important thoughts."
She glared at him.
"I follow the first contract, Miss Combs," he said. like almost all Khandra. I cannot kill or even hurt a living creature, particularly not a human being.
Milan never had that trouble, Wayne said.
Milan is a miscreant, Vandel said. Why do you think she was assigned to you? Only she and Tensoon are capable fighters. The rest of us abhor it. I should, get away. And plan. Yes, plan how to respond.
Marcy glanced at Wayne, who was rolling his eyes.
You're basically indestructible, right? She said to Vandel. Like Milan?
Well, technically. But you see, I...
Then get out there, Marcy said, and draw some fire. Also, if you can manage it, toss me one of those aluminum guns.
Very well, he said with a deep sigh. This is the last time I let Harmony convince me.
He broke off as a short woman rounded the back of the truck, somehow moving at their speed, and then she stepped into their speed bubble. The stout woman wore a bowler hat and held a dueling cane in one hand.
Hello, loves, she said. What are we doing? Having a meeting? I like meeting new folks. Killing them breaks the monotony.
She grinned, then leaped for Marcy. It was such an incongruous experience, no one had ever violated one of Wayne's bubbles, that Marcy reacted with embarrassing slowness. Wayne wasn't so inhibited. He grabbed the woman by the arm as she swung, preventing the dueling cane from connecting with Marcy's head. All three of them fell in a jumble. Wayne ended up with the dueling cane, but the woman scrambled away. She became a blur for a second as she hit the edge of the speed bubble, and then she was crossing the room at normal human speed. A moment later, she froze in place, moving sluggishly.
Damn, Wayne said, another slider.
Of course. Someone with Wayne's same power, she could create her own speed bubbles. When she'd moved quickly for a moment, it was because her speed bubble had overlapped with Wayne's, doubling her speed for a split second. But she'd been forced to drop her bubble to keep moving through the room, as sliders had to take brief breaks in using their powers.
Wayne, Marcy said, new plan. I'm going to try to grab my elementic grenades. They broke free during that blast earlier. You need to stop the strange version of yourself.
What? He demanded. Because she's a slider, she's a strange version of me.
I agree, Vandel said. Wayne is already incredibly strange, so a strange version of him would be normal.
It doesn't matter, Marcy snapped. Wayne, deal with the slider. Vandel, distract the coin shot. Ready?
Ready, Wayne said.
Not ready,
Vandel said.
Drop the bubble,
Marcy said, already leaping forward. Wayne complied, and the sound of the room hit her in a cacophony. Men scrambling for weapons and starting to fire, screams and shouts of pain, constables trying to organize themselves, a dozen different voices giving conflicting orders. Marcy tackled Captain Blantach, who had barely reached her feet, pushing her behind another of the trucks. The sequence's shots hit the floor, tossing up chips of concrete, barely missing the woman. Blantach scrambled to her feet in surprise, then nodded in thanks to Marcy, who already had her back to the truck. It was the one she'd ridden into the building, but moonlight was nowhere to be seen. Wayne tackled the slider a moment later. Vandel hopped out from behind the fallen truck and began waving his hands.
Look at me, defenseless and a traitor. Ha! I'm going to tell the constables everything.
He took a shot straight to the head.
Rusts, Captain Blantach shouted, finally putting it all together. They have an allomancer.
Marcy sighed.
Can you organize a resistance, Captain? She shouted over the increasing din. The weapons at the top of each box in these trucks are real, and all of the vehicles are plated to provide cover.
Right then,
Blantach said, turning and waving toward the eastern wall of the room.
Constables! To me! We...
The truck they were hiding behind lurched. Marcy barely leaped away in time as a second powerful steel push shook the room. The warehouse walls rattled, wood breaking and nails ripping free. Men and women who had found weapons were again shoved backward. And the truck Marcy had been using for cover was thrown away like it had been drop-kicked. It crashed out onto the street, tumbling end over end, spilling boxes that shattered into weapons. Rusts! It narrowly missed Blantach, who had already been on the move toward the snarl of constables and thugs. Many of them had been knocked to the ground. Now that Marcy's cover was gone, she saw the sequence shake an aluminum flask, then unscrew it and take a drink.
More metals, Marcy realized.
If she remembered correctly, every time the sequence used Duralumin, he would need to restore his reserves. As the sequence finished drinking, a figure with a bullet hole in the forehead tackled him. Vendel was, at the very least, trying. "Organize the constables!" Maracy shouted to Blantach, then ran for the gaping open front of the warehouse. Somewhere in the debris was her metals belt, with her grenades. Those had to be her best chance at stopping a superpowered Allomancer. On her way, she passed an incredible sight. Wayne and the other slider fighting. Wayne leaped toward the slider in a sudden burst of speed, but dropped his bubble in midair. She tossed hers up, catching them both, and the two became a blur of swinging, dueling canes in frantic motion. The speed bubble dropped, and they split apart, rounding each other, before speeding up and clashing again so fast that Maracy couldn't even make out their blurs. "Rusts, stay focused," Maracy thought. She dodged out of the front of the warehouse and scanned the debris, ignoring the sorry truck that lay upside down nearby, one tire spinning. "There," she thought, leaping to grab her metals belt, which was peeking from beneath a broken box. She yanked it out and fished inside a pouch, but the latch had broken open and two of the grenades had spilled free. She only had one. A floppy body flew past and slammed into the overturned truck. It slumped and hit the ground, then rolled a mangled face toward her on a broken neck.
"I have been defeated,"
Vendel said, words slurred by the broken jaw.
"I am billing you for these bones."
"Don't be a baby," she said, and immediately started burning cadmium. The box buzzed in her fingers, charging up. She dashed into the room to find that Blantach had gathered a group of constables, both Maracy's and her own, behind the cover of several overturned trucks. Many of the gangsters were grouped at the rear of the chamber near the sequence. They were arming themselves with weapons from the back rooms, it seemed, and others were pulling out riot shields. Wayne and his foe were still blurs. The sequence had risen into the air, hovering on a steel push. Bullets bent around him, striking the wall, unable to hit directly. Rusts! If he could do that, he was far more experienced with his powers than the Cycle Maracy had fought. At least he couldn't do those mega-pushes without harming his own people. Maracy dashed in, low, and crouched up against one of the overturned trucks. She set the timer on her grenade and watched for a moment when the sequence was turned. Hopefully, he'd rely on his powers to deflect bullets and wouldn't see her grenade. Unfortunately, the sequence glanced in her direction as she hurled the grenade. He barely managed to push it away, and it detonated near the far wall, not catching anyone. He caught her eye from up there, then shot a coin her direction. She barely ducked under cover in time. Rusts! He could move this truck at any moment. No, she thought, he'd need an anchor as heavy. That was why the sequence had been doing those powerful all-direction pushes. He could push with equal force in every direction and stabilize himself. He couldn't move a specific truck unless he could push backward against something equally heavy. That was little comfort when a count of her people showed many bleeding as they hid behind cover. Several were down, immobile. Plus, their enemy was regrouping. It gave her a bad feeling. What kind of gangsters tried to outgun the constables? The kind who are heavily armed, Maracy thought, and think they can win. We shouldn't be fighting. Not this way. Gunshots echoed in the room and bullets banged on metal and stone. We have to retreat, she said. She signaled to Kellen, one of her lieutenants. We need to set up covering fire and organize a retreat. We're out through that opening. Retreat, Kellen said, sliding closer. But the enemy. We're officers of the law, Maracy said, not soldiers. I'm not going to perpetuate a full-on battle in the middle of a city. Mission is a bust. Time to get out. Kellen thought for a moment, then nodded. You're right, the woman said. What do you want from me? Gather the others and help the wounded. I'll coordinate with the Bilming group. Then set up a distraction. Which truck has the real explosives?
Number 6. Wayne's? Who decided that?
Ruin, apparently, Kellen said. Hadn't thought about it myself. They broke. Maracy slipped her handgun from the holster on her metals belt, then dodged across the open space to truck number 6, where Blantach was taking shelter. Remarkably, it hadn't been toppled, though Maracy didn't think trying to drive out would be wise, not when the sequence had the power to overturn vehicles. We're going to retreat, Maracy said to Blantach. You with us?
Rusts, yes, Blantach said. I feel like I opened a picnic basket and found a nest of hornets.
Who are these people? They're the ones trying to undermine our civilization, Marcy said. She slapped the truck. We have explosives inside this one. I'm going to toss some at the enemy to cover our retreat. Give me a minute, Blantach said. I'll get my people ready to join you. We have wounded. So do we, Marcy said. Hopefully the explosion will give us enough time. Marcy took a deep breath, then pulled open the door of the truck and scrambled inside. There she was able to open the panel between the cab and the cargo area and slip into the back. It was dark in here, but she knew the box with the explosives would be at the rear, ready to show off on delivery. She located a few conventional grenades by touch inside the box, and what she hoped was a firebomb, which would be clay and liquid, immune to pushes. Worries chased her as she squeezed back into the cab, then ducked low, counting on the plating in the passenger door to protect her from gunfire. The more she considered it, the worse she liked their position. If we run, he'll do another of those powerful all-out pushes, she thought. We'll be ducking out the doors while trucks roll over us. But what else could she do? She slipped out of the truck with her explosives. Kellen and Blantach nodded to her, ready for the retreat. The warehouse was alive with gunfire, but on their side it was only a few constables keeping the enemy distracted while the rest helped the wounded. Time for... The sequence dropped from the air, landing directly in the middle of the four trucks they were using as cover. Then he pushed, two trucks on each side, shoving the vehicles out of the way with an incredible steel push. In an instant, their cover was gone. The collection of beleaguered constables found themselves completely exposed, hauling the wounded to their feet. At the other end of the room, the gangsters had built a little fortification out of sandbags, and now one of them snapped a large multi-barrel rotating machine gun onto a tripod. Military grade, liquid-cooled and chain-fed, with bullets longer than a person's palm. Those had been developed in case of a Malwish invasion and were illegal to smuggle out of Ellendale. The full extent of how outgunned they were struck Marcy right then. The room fell strangely silent, though she thought she heard glass shatter somewhere. A part of her mind registered the sound, but she focused on that machine gun. She stood at the head of the constables, staring directly at the barrel, realizing what was about to happen. She'd brought barely armed police to a battlefield. The machine gun started up with a ripping percussive sound and spat a concentrated stream of bullets straight at Marcy and the others. Then, those bullets stopped in the air. Then immediately went soaring backward toward the enemy fortification, hitting sandbags and shields and making the gangsters cry out in surprise. The machine gun cut off and the warehouse fell silent for a moment. Unnerved, Marcy glanced over her shoulder to find Waxillium Ladrian standing just behind her, mist coat tassels flaring as he turned and aimed a pistol right over her shoulder. He fired with a single crack of gunpowder. The shot drilled straight through the viewfinder on the machine gun and sent the man who had been firing it to the ground, a bullet through the eye.
"Sorry I'm late," Wax announced to the crowd. "Had to wait for gunfire to lead me to you. Shall we carry on, then?"